As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. And it is a great day to praise the Lord. Every day is a great day. Wanted to read to you from Jude, the little book of Jude, just one chapter. Sometimes we say Jude chapter 1 and the verse, but it's really just Jude verse 3 is what I want to focus in on because it's just one chapter. Jude was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't refer to himself like that, though he calls himself a bondservant, a doulos of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. James, also the half-brother of Jesus. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. We are called to be the Lord's witnesses. We receive power from the Holy Spirit to do this, and we speak the truth in love. Well, my guest this morning is Dr. Alex McFarland, no stranger to American Family Radio, and a good friend who has filled in for me on numerous occasions. Alex currently co-hosts Exploring the Word on American Family Radio with Bert Harper. He is an author, speaker, theologian, radio and TV host, and an apologist who has a brand new ebook out called Core Truths for an Unshakable Faith. It's a book designed, an ebook designed to help Christians contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Alex, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Pastor Jeff, thank you so much. I am glad to be with you this morning, and I just appreciate you. I've listened to your show, and it's been my great honor to sit in for you a time or two when you've been traveling, and I appreciate you, my friend. I appreciate all that you do.
Hey, thanks, Alex. Hey, I was looking online today, and for this new ebook, I thought this was quite the endorsement from Eric Metaxas. Alex is the clearest, best apologist in America. That is high praise, my friend. And as Eric is very smart and very godly and just a great guy, so kudos on that for sure. But let's talk about this brand new ebook, Alex, Core Truths for an Unshakable Faith. What precipitated you to put this together?
Well, thanks, brother. You know, I love the Lord, and I love evangelism and seeing people get saved. But I love to see Christians of all ages really get discipled and grounded in the Word of God. You and I both know that just one of the absolute keys for a person to mature in the Lord is that they get the Scripture into their heart and mind. And so you read Jude 3. I love that verse about the common salvation, the faith once delivered. And so what we did in this ebook, it's a free download, we talk about, you know, what does it mean that Jesus is deity, the Son of God? Jesus is God incarnate, and on the cross, the atonement, that his blood was shed to fully pay for our sin, and that forgiveness is appropriated to us when we put our faith in Jesus. And what does it mean to be born again? And then this is a passion of mine, Jeff. We talk about the inerrant Word of God, that the Bible, God's holy Word, is inerrant. That means there's no mistakes, there's no errors. It is God's perfect word. And, you know, I've seen it in 30 years of ministry, and I'm sure you have as well. But the one of the determining factors in how somebody thrives in Jesus or stumbles is the role of Scripture in their life. And so we believe that the Bible is God's Word, God's authority, and we just want to see people of all ages thrive in the Lord, but know God's Word and live God's Word.
Amen to that. Well, you know, Alex, one of the things I've noticed when you talk to people about witnessing and speaking the truth in love and that kind of thing, lots of people are intimidated if they're going to get a question they don't know how to answer, or if somebody comes back at them that maybe knows more than they do about world religions or whatever it might be. I think this book is so helpful because it does arm a Christian with the basics so that they can engage and not feel like they're just shooting in the dark. And so when you look at these chapters, and I like the fact that this isn't a 500 page treatise on these things. This is designed to hit people where they live so that they can be ready to go. I'm assuming you did that on purpose, so it's just nuggets of things rather than this 500 page document.
Yeah, we've written a few 500-page documents, and I believe in that. In fact, Bert Harper and I, we've got another book coming out this fall. My co-host on Exploring the Word, our third book is coming out this fall on 100 Bible questions on prophecy and the end times. And, I like to, do a deep dive on things, but, when it comes to sharing with somebody at work over the water cooler, or just really getting their feet wet when it comes to witnessing and evangelism, we've tried to make it very simple and very easy. Kind of I've often said this: timeless truth in a soundbite culture. Mm. But George Barna, we were at NRB last February a year ago, and AFA and all of us will be back there this month, actually.
Yeah.
Joe, will I see you there at National Religious Broadcasters?
Yeah, it's in Dallas this year, so it's close to me.
Yeah, and my wife and I are going to be there, and I think Bert is going to be there, and Tim Wildman probably. But last year we interviewed George Barna, and Barna said, more than 98% of American Christians will never lead somebody to Christ. And the number one reason that people are silent on the gospel is fear. Well, what we want to do, and this free download is going to help you get up to speed, because, the gospel and the Great Commission, it really is to every believer. And I just want to challenge everybody listening. Look, if God could get me out of my shell, Jeff, true story. I went to summer school so that I could graduate high school because I had failed English because I refused to get up and give a speech. Seriously, I was in this English class, and giving a speech was 30% of the grade, and I was too shy. I was like the biggest introvert, never talked to anybody. But when I got saved at 21, I was in college, and I knew all my buddies were lost. And it was very much out of my comfort zone. But I just had to tell all my friends at school about Jesus. And the thing is, folks, you don't have to be Billy Graham. You just have to be you. Mm-hmm. But there are people all around us. Lifeway, Jeff, Lifeway did a study a couple of years ago, and of millennials and younger, of those who had no church background whatsoever, 86% said, quote, they would strongly consider going to church if somebody invited them.
Mm.
Now think about that. That's almost 9 out of 10 that are saying, sure, if somebody invited me, and these are kids with no church background, but they said, if a friend or coworker or somebody invited me, 86% said they would strongly consider attending a worship service. So what we need to do, and I think what the Lord has assigned us to do, is to get people under the sound of the gospel. And that might be us sharing it one-on-one, invite somebody to go to church on Sunday. But I just feel like the most important things in life, Jeff, it boils down to two things: getting saved and then helping others find Jesus too.
Amen.
I mean, that's these are the priorities for the Christian.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I like just to let our listeners know, and this is a free book, right, Alex?
Yes.
Okay.
Free download.
So how do they get it?
Well, if they just go to my website, which is alexmcfarland.com, just my name, alexmcfarland.com, and we've done a lot of free downloads, prayer guides, and biblical-based voter guides, but this is, you know, just things that are going to help you understand the gospel and know how to not only better understand it, but rise to the challenge of Jude verse 3 and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And if I can throw this out there, folks, God is so good, and revival, and our nation needs a revival. Jeff, I happen to think we might be in the beginning stages of a great awakening, really, and perhaps you and I can talk about that further another day. I think the Lord is beginning to move. I think that we could see a national move of God's Holy Spirit. But let me say this. Part of every revival is a return to reading God's Word, living God's Word, sharing God's Word. And we've got a number of things this summer. I'll be at the Cove twice, once in July, once in August, the Billy Graham Center in Western North Carolina. And folks, I would love to meet you. We'll do a 3-day intense Bible study together, but the website of The Cove is thecove.org. And then we've got 7 summer youth camps all over, and the website for our it's for middle school and high schoolers. That's equipretreat.org. And then I've got 4 speaker series at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Some of you have been to Myrtle Beach, but in May, we've got Dinesh D'Souza. In June, we've got Dr. Gary Chapman. In August, we've got Charlie Kirk. He and I will be doing a big event at the Alabama Theater. And then in September, Lauren Green of Fox News. And so our speaker series is going to be in Myrtle Beach. And then on my calendar, we've got 4 evangelistic crusades around the country. So, Jeff, I got to say, if it wasn't for AFR, and 16 years ago, Tim Wildman reached out to me and he said, if you'll do it, I'll put you on the radio. And that has enabled us to share the gospel with millions of people. 2025 is no exception. But aren't we blessed to be serving and ministering at this hour of church history?
Amen, for sure. And Tim has become a great friend of mine. And, you know, the Lord has given him wisdom. He's way different from his dad. You know, Don had the vision of American Family Radio, American Family Association, and then Tim's taken it, and then Walker and Wesley coming behind him. And so it's really awesome to see how God has blessed the work, because they stay true to the Scripture.
Amen.
And Alex, I just want to let our listeners know, these are the chapters that you have that are just so good. Does truth exist? The case for absolute truth. Mm-hmm. Does God exist? 4 reasons we can know God exists. Are miracles possible? Evidence to support the existence of miracles. Is the Bible true? Examining facts of Scripture. Who is Jesus Christ? How do we know Jesus existed? Did the resurrection happen? Historical evidence Jesus physically died and rose from the dead. What is salvation? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Trinity? What happens when we die? How does Christianity compare with other religions? I think that's an important one for people, because they don't necessarily know that. And how does why does God allow suffering and evil? So I want to encourage our listeners to go on your website and download this. It doesn't cost anything, does it, Alex?
No, just 30 seconds to download, I suppose. But yeah, it's free. We just love to see Christians get on fire for the Word of God and Jesus and evangelism. And folks, believe it. I want to challenge everybody. Before this year is out, and if you ask God to help you, He will help you, that you will bring a soul to Christ this year in 2025. And I think this resource will help you do it.
Amen. Well, Alex, thank you so much for being my guest. I know you have another program to go to, but I appreciate you coming on today, and we'll do it again and maybe talk more about some of these things.
God bless you, my friend.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I do want to encourage you to go on Alex's website, download this. It'll be a great resource, and especially student pastors, get that to your students because they need to be armed with the truth to know how to engage their friends with the truth of the gospel. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about what's going on with USAID and how the current events going down in America under a Trump presidency. It's exciting to see it. So we'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We want to switch gears and talk about current events and what's going on, the latest in the Trump administration. You know, he is moving at warp speed. As Walker Wildman said yesterday, I thought he put it very succinctly. He said, you know, in the old days, just a few, you know, months ago, really, the pattern was the president would do something. If a conservative president was in there, he'd do something, one thing, and then the liberal strategists would all get together, have a powwow for 72 hours, come up with a narrative, come up with a slogan, disseminate it to their minions, and then they would come out with this and just, hit the airwaves and just overload the airwaves with this narrative. But Trump is coming at such lightning speed with all these different things that they can't do this three-day powwow session and all, because it's three things today, three things tomorrow, three things the next day, and it's just overloading the decks, and it's kind of blowing their circuits, and their delivery system is being destroyed with Trump's, his warp speed to right America. And I think I was watching a clip from Joe Rogan. He said, you know, Trump is looking at this from a businessman's perspective. He's looking at America as if it's a broken down, failed business about ready to go under. What decisions need to be made to right the ship? What decisions need to be made to take this entity from the brink of bankruptcy and make it viable once again? Well, one of the things that is needed is the Department of Government Expenditures, DOGE. And Trump is under, you know, tasked Elon Musk and his guys to look at all that is being wasted. And let's clean that up. Well, big in the news is obviously USAID, and Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary for the White House, she had just said, this was from yesterday, this is what they found, just a snippet. There's much more, but she said $2 million for sex changes in Guatemala. That came from USAID. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. $20 million on a new Sesame Street show in Iraq, $4.5 million to combat disinformation in Kazakhstan. It's mind-blowing the amount of money that is being wasted, and you know, it's not USAID's money. It's your tax dollars and my tax dollars and our tax dollars that they're just using however they want to use it. And as it's been discovered, much of it is being used to hurt America, not help America. Well, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, he was interviewed and dealing with the misinformation that's out there, because the left is trying to say USAID does all these great things. And I had one guy actually tell me, he said, women and babies are literally dying because of Donald Trump and what he's doing with USAID, putting a stop on all their expenditures. Well, this is what Secretary of State Marco Rubio had to say about USAID.
So you're now the head of USAID. The head of DOGE, Elon Musk, called USAID a criminal organization and added that it is time for it to die. Do you agree with that?
Let me walk you through the history of this agency. It was created as a way of doing humanitarian assistance in the world, separate from the State Department at the time. But it said you have to take policy direction from the Secretary of State, the National Security Council, the White House, and all elements of government. They have basically evolved into an agency that believes that they're not even a U.S. government agency, that they are out, they are a global charity, that they take the taxpayer money and they spend it as a global charity, irrespective of whether it is in the national interest or not in the national interest. So they just don't consider that they work for the U.S. They just think they're a global entity and that their master is the globe and not the United States. And that's not what the statute says, and that's not sustainable. President put a pause on all foreign aid. We go to USAID, which is a big chunk of foreign aid, $40 billion or so. They're completely uncooperative. They won't tell you what the programs are. They refuse to answer questions. They try to push through payments. Even after the executive order, they were still trying to push money through the system.
Can it be reformed or does it need to die?
Well, that was always the goal, was to reform it. But now we have rank insubordination. Now we have basically an active effort where their basic attitude is, we don't work for anyone. We work for ourselves. No agency of government can tell us what to do. So the president made me the acting administrator, and we're going to go through the same process at USAID as we're going through now at the State Department. This is not about getting rid of foreign aid. There are things that we do through USAID that we should continue to do. That makes sense. And we'll have to decide, is that better through the State Department, or is that better through something, you know, a reformed USAID? That's the process we're working through. There are things that are happening at USAID that we should not be involved in funding, or that we have a lot of questions about. But they're completely uncooperative. So we had no choice but to take dramatic steps to bring this thing under control.
So that was Marco Rubio talking about what's really going on as DOGE and Trump's administration look at USAID. And yeah, the insubordination, you know, no organization can withstand that. If you have insubordinates, you have to get rid of them, because that's going to... that's going to just gum up the works. That's a dam in the flow of success. And so, yeah, those people have to go. You either get on the bus or you get off the bus, but you're not going to be drilling holes in the bus. Or I used to say this, you know, when I came to First Baptist Texarkana, it was with our staff. It's like, hey, we all need to get on the same boat, rowing in the same direction. But if you want to get on the boat and drill holes in the boat, forget it. We're gonna let you off because you're hurting what we're doing. You're not helping what we're doing. Well, one of the things that has been exposed, and it is really almost comical to see some people. I've seen some people on Facebook trying to defend USAID as this entity that is doing such good in the world, and they're just this stellar work of American government, and how dare Donald Trump and Elon Musk come in and dismantle this. And it's like, good grief, come on. I get it, you're a homer for the left, but you gotta be at least objective to say, well, I don't want my tax money going to all these ridiculous things. And I definitely don't want my tax dollars going to things that are going to hurt America, fund terrorism and that kind of thing. So Scott Jennings was, he's on CNN and he's the lone voice of conservatism and reason among a host of leftists. And this is what he had to say concerning what we're seeing as Trump exposes these things and the Democrats begin to defend the indefensible.
He's describing what is currently the dumbest strategy in politics, which is Democrats taking the 20% side of every 80-20 issue in America. USAID, people want this pared down. They want it streamlined. They want to know where the money is going. Democrats have a meltdown. Today, Donald Trump signs executive order on keeping boys out of girls' sports. Democrats take the 20 side of that issue as well. All these issues, this is like Trump's superpower, finding a bunch of 80-20 issues, getting on the 80, and everybody who's sort of reflexively against him gets on the 20. And now the Democratic Party has like a 31% approval rating. This is why.
I don't know.
Yeah, good point. So if you're going to jump on the 20% in America, you know, hey, 20% of Americans are for this, and that's where we're going to pick our hill to die. Okay, well, you can do that, but you're getting steamrolled, and everybody sees your position is indefensible. Your position is idiotic. Now, I saw a clip on CNN, and they were talking about men playing, biological men playing women's sports. You know, Trump did away with that in executive order. Hey, we're not going to have that. And you come to the Olympics in 2028 and you're a biological male. Guess what? You're not getting in here if you think you can compete in the Olympics, as we saw last year with a man winning in the boxing, female boxing, because he's a biological male and a confused person at that, thinking he's a woman. Well, here was the stat that they showed on CNN. They said in 2021, 56% of Americans said they didn't want biological males competing with females, biological females. That was in 2021. So it's a majority, but it's not, it's 56% to 44%. In 2025, the 56% that said we don't want that now has jumped to 79%. As the guy said, you know, we went from a majority to a super majority. I mean, this is just unheard of that 79% of Americans would agree on anything. But 79% agree in 2025 that we do not want biological males competing against biological females. And so exactly what Scott Jennings said, the 80-20 thing, or as in this case, the 79-21. But Democrats are now, so many of them are now supporting this. And it's like, okay, that's what we're supposed to support. Well, you're in the vast minority. And so people start to understand, wait a minute, you're supporting that? You're supporting the waste from USAID? You're supporting these confused men, biological men, playing against women? That doesn't make any sense at all. And so they're being exposed for embracing all the fringe. That's what happened just in the last few years. You know, Bill Maher has pointed that out. Bill Maher, who's not a friend of Christianity by any stretch of the imagination, but he hasn't totally checked his brains at the door. So he sees what's happening and he says, hey, as a Democrat, as a liberal, if you start supporting the fringe, the very far, far, far left positions in your party, you're going to alienate lots of people. And that's exactly what they've done. I saw a clip where, you know, it was just these liberals just screaming, you know, let's all get together and scream. And I said, well, gee, what a great argument that is, that you're just going to get together and scream. You know, in the public sector of ideas, they have none. They don't have any, you know, to speak of, anything to say about the border situation. And incidentally, I saw something today that said the border crossings have decreased 90% since Trump has taken office. That's amazing. I mean, he's finished his third week as president. That guy has done more in 3 weeks than anybody that we've ever seen. And I believe it was Bishop E.W. Jackson. I had him on the program on Tuesday, and he said, as much as I love and respect Ronald Reagan, and I agree with that, I love and respect Ronald Reagan too. He said, Trump is on, he's on pace to be an even greater president for conservatism than Ronald Reagan. And so we need to continue to pray for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is he's a flawed individual, as you are, as I am. And we need to pray for him. You know, sometimes we can build these people up and our heroes become larger than life. But let's face it, every hero has feet of clay. And David, the greatest man, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, the only guy in Scripture called a man after God's own heart. Well, we know he wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. And he did some terrible things. You know, committing adultery, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, a terrible thing. And then to follow that up by having her husband killed to cover up the pregnancy, that's just awful. I mean, it's just so awful. As Adrian Rogers said, it was a hot-blooded sin when he had sex with Bathsheba. He was overcome with lust. But it was a cold-blooded sin, a calculated sin, when he had Uriah the Hittite killed. And so David, as great as he was not a perfect man, and he fell, and there were lots of difficulties that came into his life because of that. And so we know that our leaders are not perfect people by any stretch of the imagination. So we need to pray for them, pray that God would give them wisdom, pray that God would keep them grounded. So, you know, you don't read your own press clippings, so to speak, and so you're able to see things clearly. Now, we know that Donald Trump has a problem with that, although he seems to be doing much, much better this go-round than he did in 2017 when he was sworn in. He doesn't seem to be talking about himself quite as much. He's doing what, in my opinion, doing what is best for America and for Americans. And as Walker said yesterday, Walker Wildman, I'd give Trump a 10 out of 10. For his first few weeks in office. I mean, he is hitting it out of the park. Now, one of the things that you've heard, no doubt, is a thing called TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. And that is a real thing. I've been in discussions with a friend of mine, and it's amazing how his brain is just so warped. He's just so deceived. He can't see the forest for the trees. He thinks USAID is one of the greatest, arms of government we've ever seen. He actually told me this. He says, "I think Trump is the Antichrist." And, you know, as bad as the accusations against Trump have been leveled, he's a fascist, he's a Nazi, he's Hitler, he's this, that, and the other. I haven't heard anyone say that Trump is the Antichrist until this guy said that. And, you know, if you see Trump as the Antichrist, well, then there's no bottom to the evil that you will perceive him, hitting. And it's just amazing. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. Hey, Trump is a person, and he's wanting to do right by the American people. And I, for one, applaud him and am praying for him. I hope you are too. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, please give me a call, and let's talk about things. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, Real Truth for Today. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. And I do want to mention this one thing. You know, we talk about how Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him." And we have heard the expression that Trump popularized fake news. And we have fake news. The devil is the original fake newscaster. Everything that he does, whenever he speaks a lie. And lies have consequences. I saw this just yesterday in The Telegraph, which is UK and world news. It says, baby survives parents' global warming suicide pact. A 7-month-old girl survived for 3 days alone with a bullet in her chest after being shot by her parents as part of a suicide pact over their fears about global warming. How idiotic, how ridiculous, and how deadly for people to believe the lie of global warming. I don't understand that for a second. Reducing carbon footprint when it's 0.04%. It is ridiculous. God controls the climate. We don't need to be worried about climate change. And, you know, believing lies has tremendous consequences. And when you believe the lies that are being, you know, pumped out on a daily basis, when you believe the devil's lies, I have a new book coming out in May called The Devil's Newsroom, and it deals with the lies of the enemy. And how do you defeat lies? You defeat lies with the truth. But many people are going to believe and do believe the lies of the devil, and his lies will send you to hell if you don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is always never ceasing to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. So we need to fill our minds, as Alex said, fill our minds with the Word of God so that we can know the truth and walk in the truth and then share the truth with other people. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we got Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Brother Jay. Appreciate you taking my call. Love the show. Yes, sir, Lord, keep my mind stayed on thee. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to piggyback off of Scotty called in this segment yesterday and was talking about the media, the national media kind of filtered down to the local media, and I witnessed that. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, verses 14 and 15, talks about discernment. And the Lord had showed me where they had, how they would phrase things when President Trump was in, going through all these trials. And then when, you know, then it was time when Hunter Biden's turn to come, it was, you know, Winnie the Pooh got held up in either downtown New York, or a herd of cats were delivered out of it. They just sway that mindset. And I know as believers, I just thank you, Lord, for we see through them things. And just kind of wanted to touch base that right there, Brother Jeff. Love you guys and appreciate you taking my call, brother.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you listening to the program. Thanks for calling in and sharing. Yeah, the left-leaning media, they're going to skew things and report things in such a way to go with the narrative. And if the facts don't fit the narrative, they either leave them out or they change them in such a way that does fit. And you saw that in the campaign. I watched the CBS finally release the unedited interview with Kamala Harris, and she would repeat the same old lies, suckers and losers that are in the military, and the stuff that Biden and others would repeat over and over again. Very good people that were there in Charlottesville. And I mean, it's obvious, you play the clip and Trump says, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and skinheads and all that stuff. But they conveniently left that out and kept just pounding and banging that drum. So, hey, we need to share the truth. I listened to Bill O'Reilly the other day, and he said, you know, he's got the phrase of the no spin zone. He said, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to skew the truth or massage the truth or push the truth in a direction to where, I massage it some so it can confirm my narrative. He said, no, I'm going to tell you this is what's going on. And you follow the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Well, we have Jimmy on the line from Arkansas. Jimmy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right, well, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I'm going to make my question kind of quick. Me and my wife were having a conversation this morning, and I just want to make sure I get, you know, a good meaning across. Like, what is the true definition of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? You know, like, I I've told her that I believe that blasphemy is just a rejection of Christ as our Savior, ultimately. But, I mean, that's just like a clear definition of what blasphemy against Holy Spirit is, if you don't mind. And I appreciate it, Jeff, and we love listening to you, so.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Yeah, good question. And there's some confusion about this and some disagreement among good and godly people. Here's how I understand the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the one who talked about it. Matthew chapter 12, it says there, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. All the crowds were amazed and were saying, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, that's a key, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebul, which is a name for the devil, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him either in this age or the age to come. I think the way to understand that is this. Jesus knew that those guys in there, he knew their thoughts, and he knew that they knew that their explanation for the miracle didn't make any sense. That he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Well, that doesn't make sense. And Jesus said to him, that's not logically an argument. I mean, Satan doesn't cast out Satan, because then his house would be divided, and no house divided can stand. So he said, it can't be Satan. So it must be from God. And you guys know that it's from God, and the Holy Spirit is illuminating your eyes right now so that you see that I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, so that you see who I am, the Christ of God. But you are too prideful, and you're too stuck in this, we hate this guy will not rule over us, to admit it and to yield to it. So that's why he said, if you blaspheme, speak against the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's job is to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, then you can't be forgiven. The only sin that can't be forgiven is the sin of rejecting the forgiver. If you reject the forgiver, though, there is no forgiveness. And so what they were doing, from my understanding, is their eyes were wide open. The Holy Spirit was showing them who Jesus was, and they said, no. No, we will not trust this man. We will not yield to this man. We will not say the obvious, that this man is obviously from God. Nicodemus said that. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. No one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. He was honest enough to say, obviously, you're doing these things from God. But these guys wouldn't say that. And they wouldn't allow the truth to set them free. They said no to the truth. And anybody who does that, well, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and say no to the Holy Spirit, when he's opening your eyes and your heart to the truth, and you say, no, I will not believe that, well, then there's no forgiveness for you. You're crossing a line. What else can God do to open your eyes? He's opening your eyes. He's illuminating your heart and mind, and you say no. Well, then you're done, because there is nothing else he can do to get you to yield your heart to him. And so that's how I understand that, Jimmy. I hope that's helpful.
That makes sense.
I mean, I was just wondering, like, does it have anything to do with your conscience in determining what's right and what's wrong? Is that the Holy Spirit? Like, is the Holy Spirit considered to be like your conscience, that tells you what's right and what's wrong?
Well, the Holy Spirit can work through your conscience, but the Holy Spirit is going to be separate from your conscience. And so, you know, I think in this instance, understanding that these guys, they were sinning against logic, and they were sinning against revelation from the Holy Spirit of God, and they were saying no to both those things. And that's when Jesus said, hey, you guys are on dangerous ground here, because you keep saying no to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to talk to you anymore. And Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so, you know, if you shut that off, then there's no hope for you. You're gone, and you can't be forgiven. The only way you can be forgiven is by accepting the forgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject the forgiver, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You reject him with your eyes wide open. You know who he is, and you still say, no, I'm going to choose my sin over God's Son. And when you do that, there's no hope. You've crossed a line, and there's nothing God can do to get you to believe, because you've just said no to him. And that's a dangerous place to be. But I appreciate that. Thanks for that question. We have J-Rod on the line from Louisiana. J-Rod, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. God bless you, Pastor Jeff.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you. I'm just doing good. I'm so blessed just listening to you, man, how the Lord just allowed you just to share the word and the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, and, you know, just have the anointing of God.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question is, how do you answer these, I guess you can't call them Christians, but people who come into the Christian church, even ministering, supposedly ministering in music in the Christian church, but yet they don't believe in Christianity, or they're calling Christianity the white man religion, and just different foolishness like this. How do you answer people with those type of beliefs?
Yeah. Give me an example. What specifically are you talking about? Somebody wanting to come into your church?
Well, someone I know who's in the church, serving in the church, but he don't believe in Christianity. Say Christianity, the white man religion. Christianity is coming to an end, and you know, those who believe in Christianity, you know, they haven't seen any changes in their life yet. And it's totally unscriptural. And it's like, you know, we got to stop trying to punish a whole group of people because of maybe what some people did in the past, whether white, black, whatever color. You know, God so loved the world, not just one person, not just the white man, the black man, the red man, or the green man. He loves everyone, you know. So you're going to have bad actors in every religion, every race, every group of people. You're going to have bad actors, but we can't punish everybody because of the wrong of some others.
Yeah. So, I think it's very important that churches, with their staff and their leadership, that they know what they believe in, and you don't put people in positions of leadership that don't believe the right things. You know, there are spine issues. Those are non-negotiable things, and there are some rib issues that good and godly people can disagree on. Eschatology, the study of end times, people can disagree on when the return of Christ is and things like that. But when it comes to core issues of who Jesus is, what we have to do to get right with him, the gospel, and the person of Christ, and those things that are critical to salvation. Those are non-negotiable. And so you can't have somebody singing in a praise team or something like that that doesn't believe those things. Just because they're a good singer, that doesn't cut the mustard. You have to have believers that are singing and believers that are serving and those that can advance the kingdom, because it's the kingdom is real in their own hearts. And so I would say that that's a big problem. And who's ever leading that group, the pastor of the church in that instance, J-Rod, I would say he would definitely need to get involved, have that conversation. And if they can't come to an agreement on the non-negotiables, then that person that doesn't want to get on board needs to get off. because you can't have that. That's like having cancer in the body. It's just going to destroy it. But I appreciate the question. Sorry, David and Robin, we didn't get to you, but I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening to Real Truth for Today. Hey, go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Just open your mouth and start talking to people. You'll be amazed at how God will move in those conversations. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.